Okay, Parshas Mishpatim, folks. So the Parsha begins with the statement, V'ila Mishpatim Asher Tosim Lifneim, that these are the Mishpatim you should place before them. It should be noted that the Sanhedrin meets in the Lishkas Hagazis, which is identified as being half in the Mikdash and half being outside the official Beis HaMikdash. The importance was such that the Sanhedrin had to sit Bechatzi Eagle in a half bent place, because a person is not allowed to sit Ba'azara. A person is not permitted to sit in the Azara, and the Sanhedrin had to be careful not to violate that rule, and at the same time had a responsibility to sit when they were being done Dinei Torah. So the matter is of a significant importance, and the question has to be raised, if so, why do you put the Sanhedrin that close to run a risk in the Lishkas Hagazis of sitting in a disrespectful manner before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Ramban explains that this is the case, so that the Sanhedrin would have the inspiration of the Luchos in the Psak Halacha. In other words, that they should be as close as possible when they are being done Dinei Torah. Moreover, Rabbi Shechter Shalita has pointed out that even after Yoshio HaMelech was gonez the Aron HaKodesh, still the Sanhedrin continued to function in the Lishkas Hagazis. That is to say, after the Luchos were no longer there, still it was important to have the guidance of the Luchos. Why is that? Because, as Rav Shechter explained, the guidance of Psak is built on the idea of Siyata Dishmaya. The understanding of Psak is built on the idea of the fact that practice comes from assistance from Shamayim, to make sure that a Rav is supposed to be protected from erring in Psak Halacha. True Rabbanim who make it their business to realize that it's not about themselves, and true people who are committed to finding true Rabbanim who make it not about themselves are careful to make sure not to err in Psak. We read about the Parsha Sohavadim, where we're told, we know that an Eved Ivri is supposed to work for 6 years. But if he comes along and he says, that he loves his wife and his master and his children, that he doesn't want to go, lo etze chafshi. So the Torah tells us that he can engage in a process called Ritzia, where his ear is pricked. And Rashi cites the Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Chaf Beis, Amid Beis, that explains that we do Ritzia in the ehear because it was Ozen Sheshama Bar Sinai Kili B'nei Yisrael Avadim B'lo Avadim La'Avadim, that B'nei Yisrael are only supposed to serve Hashem, and now this individual wants to violate that and serve another man. So that ear that heard in Har Sinai the other way, it should now all of a sudden be pricked. So Rav Shimon Schwab asks the question, why we do not prick the ear when the person is sold? After all, it's the same ear that heard in Shamayim, or at the base of Har Sinai, Lo Tignovu, that he's not supposed to steal. That same process of violating what the ear heard at Mamad Har Sinai exists in that case as well. Why do we wait 6 years before we engage in Ritzia? So Rav Schwab answers that when one steals a soul from the Jewish people, he's not stealing from the rest of the nation. He's stealing the person from his own obligations to Hashem. That is one of the challenges that exists. And so now, at the point in time where he gets sold into Avdus, he's stealing himself. That, in such a situation, he doesn't have the opportunity to say, I have an issue. But once he decides to become a Porik Ol, that he wants to cast off the yoke of being involved on his own, he deserves the punishment of Ritzia. In other words, says Rav Schwab, the first time the person did something wrong, and so he had to be sold. And so therefore he gave up his opportunity. But now he's making the choice to keep that status going. That's an error against HaKadosh Baruch Hu and a sin against Hashem. And so therefore, at that point in time, it's to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the ear has to be pricked. Most of Parshas Mishpatim deal, of course, with a tremendous amount of focus on the laws of damages. And the Gemara in Bava Kamma on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph expressly exempts the owner of a slave from paying for damages that are caused by the slave. Why? Because we want to make sure that the slave is not going to exact revenge on his master. Think how easy that would be. If an Eved were to get angry at his master, he would just start destroying the master's neighbor's stuff. And slowly and surely, he'd make the master into a pauper. So the Gemara says he would be the master, the owner, would be exempt. So the Chazon Ish learns from here that it's impossible for a Baal Bechira to make another Baal Bechira chayev for his own damages. A person can't be chayev for damages of one Baal Bechira if he is not the Baal Bechira. So Rav Pam Zatzal would often add that the same thing is true for people who blame others for wasting their time. The surroundings that one has often impact one's use of time, but ultimately it's the Baal Bechira who wastes his own time, and as a result, he's responsible for how that time is spent, and by the way, how it's wasted. So therefore, when people say, you're wasting my time, what they really mean is, I'm wasting my time, and you are the Gorin. And it's something that perhaps we should pay attention to. Later on in the parasha, one of the mitzvahs we're told about is given to us with an introduction. We're told by Anshei Kodesh Tiyunli that we are supposed to be a people of Kedusha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so what is that system? Ubasar basadet treifa lo sochelu lakelev tashlichen oso. That meat that's left in a field is to be left as a treifa, and it's to be left for the dogs. And Rashi reminds us that the reason why we leave it to the dogs, lakelev tashlichen oso, is a reward for the fact that the dogs were silent when the Jews left Mitzrayim. So Shmuel Barenbaum, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the famous mayor of Brooklyn, Rosh Hashiva, asked why we reward the dogs who lacked Bechira, and as to how they're supposed to act. They just did what instinctually they were supposed to do. So Barenbaum explains, based on the Ramban, who says that the reason why we're unable to eat trefos is that it's against our nature. But the fact of the matter is, we still need to withstand the nature. Rav Shmuel adds that barking is in the nature of a dog. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu came along and told the dog, you cannot follow your natural inclination, it must have pained the dog. It must have pained the dog not to be able to follow its natural inclination, even though it was unable to follow the inclination. For that too, says Rav Shmuel, if it withstood its nature, we need to withstand ours. And therefore, we need to understand that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that it's not in the tav of a human being to eat treifos and shkatzim and remasim, but still there's a taiva to do it. And if we withstand the taiva, even though what we're doing is the right thing to do, we need to be makir tov. I saw my doctor this week. I wonder if he's listening. And my doctor said to me, you need to make it your business to eat healthier. Now, the truth of the matter is, I'm supposed to eat healthier. But and eating badly is not good for me. But if I go for my upcoming checkup, and it turns out that I'm following his instructions, and I'm doing well, even though that's what I need to do for my own health, maybe it'll offer me a good word and encouragement as well. It's u'asar basade trefa, but still, lakelev tashlichen oso, and we need to be makir tov to the dogs who followed their responsibility in the moment, but still, that didn't come without any pain in the process. Okay. When we lose an object, hashev tishivem le'achicha, the Torah tells us that we have to return them to our brother. So Rav Yashiv Zatzal pointed out that there are two types of lost objects. There are those that can seek out their owners, like sheep, and then there are those that cannot, like a lost wallet. So in regard to the former, says Rav Yashiv, it's easier to guarantee that the object than the... In regard to the former, like the sheep, it's easier to guarantee that the object and the owner will reunite, because both are seeking the opposite. But Rav Yashiv Zatzal added that the idea of returning lost objects also applies to returning lost Jews who are also seekers. They also have to be brought to see the lifestyle, that of Chaye HaTorah, which they're missing, and to give them that inspiration. Which brings us into the responsibilities HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises in Kesef Tal Ve'Asami, which becomes a very important Kriyas HaTorah during the Yontif season. We're also told that Es Mispar Yamecha Amaleh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the declaration that I will fill the number of days in your life. Shmuel Brazil Shalita explains that there are two aspects to the fulfilled life that are mentioned here as a result of Torah and Mitzvah living. There are days that are mispar, that are numbered, and then there are days that amale. That there are certain times a person does mitzvos in order to be yotzei the mitzvos, and then there are days that are filled with Torah living, that describes not only how one does Torah, but how one lives Torah. So the first type of living has no perus. Simply speaking, says Shmuel Brazil, there's no satisfaction in doing mitzvahs simply because they're being done without feeling and by rote. And at their weakest, mitzvahs that are performed to be Yotzeh Zayin are seen as a burden. So if a person understands that and wants something more, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, Es Mispar Yamecha, when you go through life that way, Amale, I'm going to change him and fill them, so that your life is not a series of numbers of checks on a checkbox, but rather something that grows much greater and beyond the checkbox into a full life as well. We go back to the recreation of Mamad Har Sinai in the final issue in the Sedra, and we read about the description of Mamad Har Sinai and of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we understand that what was Tachas Raglo Ke Masa Livnasat Piru Ke Etzah Mashamayim Latoar, right? We are told that what was under his feet was like a brickwork of sapphire and an appearance of the heavens in their brilliance. And Rashi explains that the Livna Sasapir was a reminder of Hashem's eternal concern for Am Yisrael, even when they were enslaved in Mitzrayim making bricks. So the question has to be raised, if they were even supposed to be when they were in Shemayim making bricks, why would he make it Livna Sasapir? Why would it look like bricks of sapphire, not of mud and straw like the ones that were in Mitzrayim, if after all that was the goal that they were supposed to be demonstrating? So Rabelski Zatzal explains that the lesson that the Torah wants us to internalize is not that of brick in the mud, but rather the lessons that we were learned in it. Says Rabelski Zatzal, the Jews learned the lessons of Leket, and understanding and knowing another Jew's suffering, because as we were reminded, V'zacharta ki avad ha'isa b'mitzrayim, that the lesson of suffering Mitzrayim taught the Jew to create a sensitivity in his character. That the greatness of a person is revealed when he or she can take the hardship bricks of clay in his or her life and turn them into gems of beauty. That's what we have to do with our lives. And that's why the Torah constantly reminds us, V'zacharta ki avad ha'isa b'mitzrayim. Because what happens as a result is that we take those experiences and we utilize them and build them further for us. The Haftorah tells us from Yirmiyahu on Perek Lamed Daled, Vatavova Vatchalu es Shem Kachi. The story is told, as Yirmiyahu points out, that first the Jews went ahead and freed their Avadim, and then they went ahead afterwards and decided that they were going to re-enslave the same Avadim, and for this HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes the Jewish people. And Rav Rivlin Shalita, the Mashgiach in Karen Biavne, explains that in a country in which there is slavery, even if it involves only a very small percentage of the population, the entire country is considered to be in a state of subjugation. The reality of slavery is that it leaves its imprint on the entire society, transforming it into a society of slaves. And so in the seventh year, as we read in the Sedra, each slave goes out individually based on when he was brought. And so therefore it has no impact on society. But when it came, when the Yovel year comes around, and the presence of slavery is completely annulled, so then all the inhabitants of the land go free. That is, the whole society changes back to the way it was supposed to be. It's a free land. And that's what Yirmiyahu is pointing out. Each time we see the word chofesh, it said regard in regard to individual slaves. But when Yirmiyahu uses the word dror, he's speaking about the entire nation as brothers. When there is a freedom for all slaves, there's liberty for a whole society. Because then everyone is returning to his or her state of natural purity, midar ledar. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us that wisdom, and make sure that we're always proclaiming liberty throughout the land, so that we can get to the point of the ultimate freedom of the nation, b'mehirah v'yameinu, a good Shabbos to all.